And I just pray that that transition can go quickly and that you'll continue to give all of them an inner strength and a peace as they begin to make changes. We know change is not easy, and it does create problems and rifts that we have to deal with, but we pray that your will in the lives of many of these people that profess your name will continue to do God-honoring things before you, and that you'll protect them in every way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. And laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above
It's been said cats have 9 lives. Maybe your cat's been gone for 3 or 4 days. Don't know if he got run over by a car or eaten by something. But then 3 or 4 days, he comes back. But my meditation today is just a little bit different. Give me 1 second. Just in case. Stay there. I'd like to tell you about my little chick. About a week and a half ago, I got 100 chicks. And I had to put them in a confined area, keep them warm for at least 2 weeks at 90 degrees. So I kept check on them for every couple hours, make sure if there was anything you did. See if there was anything happened, you know. So the second day I had these chickens, I looked in there. One little chick was laying down, 2 of them were dragging it. So I says, I took that little chick, I took it in the house, put it in a box. Well, due to technology, I almost lost my baby. I put a heating pad under it. Put a towel on it, put a heating pad under it, and during the night, the heating pad goes off. So the little baby chick got cold. Next morning when I got up and looked at it, that little sucker was cold as a cucumber. So I said, well, it's dead, you know. I just laid it out there and it just, you know, looked like it was dead. To me it was, because I buried it probably. Tammy came out. She picked that little she picked that little chick up. And she warmed it up. Do you know, within a couple of hours, that little chick was chirping. It was walking around. And first thing you know, it started eating again and looked like nothing ever happened. So I said, well, we'll just keep it in the house for another day. That's what we did. We put it in a box. I put a light on it, put aluminum foil over it to deflect the heat into the box. So it did fine that day. Well, next morning I got up, I looked in the box, because that's the first thing I did was checked on it. It was gone. There's no chicken in the box. I says, what happened to it? You got to remember this. I got a cat in the house. And also a little dog in the house. And I couldn't find a chicken. So directly Tammy comes walking out of her bathroom. She had the little chicken in her hand. I says, or you're going back in the box. So I put a light on the box to keep the heat in there. And then we put aluminum foil all around it and taped it to it. I said, now maybe it'll stay in there. That didn't happen. The next morning I got up, first thing I do, I check the little chick, and it's gone. So I says, well, I started looking around, and I had the box setting up 4 or 5 feet high. I looked up in the on the table, and there it sat on the end of the table. So I picked it up, put it back in the box, and I says, well, this little Houdini is going to have to either get in a better box or it's going out with the rest of them. So the easiest thing to do is put it with the rest of them, and that's what I did. So it lived very happily with the rest of them for the rest of the time. So that's my story about the little chick. But I just want to relate that to our lives. When our days are done here, we look forward to going to heaven, have a new life and a new body. Hopefully we can do what we have to do to earn our way to heaven. So today we take bread and juice to remember Jesus' broken body and his blood that was shed for our sins. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Shall we pray? Lord, we pray for all those who died in the plane crashes, the wars and bloodshed. We look forward to a new life where there's no pain and we can see our family and friends again.
Thank you. Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, we just as we continue with service, we just as we collect the offering, Lord, it's just a small portion of your many blessings that you give it to us each and every day. Thanks for life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying at the cross for us. And as we collect the offering, I ask you to bless the gift and the giver and guide us to spend it according to your will, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shake with fear and wonder if you're even here. I've been the one to doubt your love. I've told myself you're not enough. Start to question who you are. You're the one who conquers giants. You're the one who calls out kings. You shut the mouths of lions. You tear the dead to breathe. You're the one who walks through fire. You take the orphan's hair. You are the one Messiah. You are I am.
If you have your Bibles with you, two scriptures we're going to briefly look at, Exodus chapter 31 and Acts chapter 1. So if you can just kind of have those ready, if you're a guest with us today, I hope that you will open the bulletin up. You got an outline to this morning's message that I think might be helpful here today. We have some scriptures up on the screen. If you don't have your Bibles, that you can read along. Some people ask what translation, and it's the New International. So hopefully that will be of help to you. All right, we are now at the end of a four-week series talking about passion killers. Today will be the fourth and final message in the series. We've looked at thus far five of the seven passion killers that have a tendency to kill our passion to do what? We sang it this morning. These passion killers keep us from loving the Lord our God with all our heart. Thank you, Joey, for that song. It was nice. It's the theme song for this series, actually. But passion killers have a tendency to kill our passion to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, and with all our strength. And so that's why we've been looking at them, trying to analyze them, trying to get a better feel for it. Now, I've done a lot of review along the way. I'm not going to do that today because I want to complete this series this morning, but I will very quickly list for you the five passion killers that we have talked about. They'll be up here on the screen here for you. Number one was an unbalanced schedule. If you were here the first couple of weeks, I went into a lot of detail for you for that. Number two, an unused talent. I think God's created all of us with talent. Don't buy into the lie that Satan will put before you that you don't have a talent. You do. You have a talent or gift or both or many. But you have at least one. So you can never say, I don't have anything. And there are people that have them and they just don't use them. That's the tragedy, and that's the passion killer. Number three is an unconfessed sin. 1 John 1:9 is your answer for that one. Number four was an unresolved conflict. That is huge in lots of churches, not just here in America, but around the world. There are people in church today. I hope it's not here, but there are many Christians in churches today who are at odds with somebody in the same building. They have conflict with somebody, and they've not resolved it. And so they're in violation of Scripture. The Bible says, Jesus makes it clear, if you got a problem, stop. Just stop what you're doing. Stop worshiping me. I'm not going to accept it until you go get it resolved. Get it done. Take care of it. Two Christians of like mind should be able to resolve it. Then, Jesus says, then come and worship. Bring your gift. I'm ready to receive it at that point. So, very important. Unresolved conflict can truly destroy our passion for the Lord. And then the last one we looked at was an unsupported lifestyle. And that is something that comes through fellowship, church attendance, being around stronger Christians, being around passionate Christians. I always tell people, if you're not passionate, why don't you get with somebody that is? Just hang with them. It won't be long before it rubs off, and it'll come back. You know, if you lost your passion, you can get it back. But you need to be with somebody that is very passionate about what they do. All right, so those are the five we looked at. We're going to look at two more here today. That'll finish up our series of passion killers. And so our first point today is really passion killer number six, and that is an unclear purpose. An unclear purpose. Folks, when you forget the God-given purpose of your life, that is a surefire way to kill your passion for life and for serving God. If you don't know the purpose for your life, I would say, why bother? Why bother? Why get up in the morning? Why put forth any effort at all if you don't even know what you're here for? Why even get out of bed? Life without purpose is activity without direction. It is motion without meaning. Life without purpose is trivial, petty, and pointless. And yet there are many Christians that live every day without purpose. Every year, either on the first or second Sunday in September, depending on how that Sunday falls, this year we'll have it on the first Sunday, but every year on the first Sunday in September, we have what we call our 101 class that takes place after our service. It's a one-day class. It's an all-day after-service class, all afternoon. Many of you have had the class. There are a number of good reasons why you should take the class if you haven't had it. But one reason that stands near the top is because this class discussed the five reasons God put you here on this earth. You're not here for just one reason. You're here for at least five. I could rattle off very quickly to you. And whenever you forget why God put you here on this earth, at some point you're going to drift.
You're going to drift toward apathy. That's how it happens. Why get out of bed if there's no meaning to life? If there's no purpose to my life here on this earth, I would say then I have a hopeless existence. Maybe you felt like Isaiah, who says in Isaiah 49, I've labored to no purpose, and I've spent my strength in vain for nothing. I don't know if you've ever felt like that, but Isaiah did. He was willing to share it. Folks, passion and purpose must always go together. When you have a clear purpose, it's going to give you a whole lot more passion than you can imagine. But it's got to be God's purposes for your life and not your purposes. That's where people get confused. The reason why some people get out of bed is not because of anything God's done for them. It's all about them. If you're only living for self, I would tell you that is a very petty, small purpose for you to be focused on, if it's just you. That isn't going to make you very passionate at all in life in general, I don't think. In fact, I think it's a little pathetic. How's this sound? What are you here for? I'm living for me. Does that sound passionate and exciting? I'm living for me. That will give you a lot of energy to get out of bed in the morning if you're just living for you. Joking. You need a cause greater than yourself. That gives life significance. It gives life meaning. The more you understand God's purposes for your life, the more you'll live those purposes and you'll become more passionate as you grow in them. Guaranteed. So an inquiring mind should be asking, well, what are the five purposes? Well, I don't want to steal the thunder from the 101 class. You have to come to the class, you know, if you want the five purposes in detail. But I will mention them here to you. I'll list, I think they're on the screen. Here are the five reasons God put you here on this planet. If you didn't know it, mark it, write it down. Begin to understand it. Number one, to celebrate God's presence through worship. That's number one. Number two, demonstrate God's love through ministry. Yeah, you got to find a ministry. Number three, communicate God's word through evangelism. You got to share. I think it says over there, go and make disciples. You got to share. Number four, reproduce God's church through fellowship. And number five, educate God's people through discipleship. And there they are. I can clearly show you. I have a whole class, a whole afternoon class that goes into a lot of depth into those five purposes. If those are not your purposes, then I don't think you're focused on God. You haven't read God's word. Because those are clearly identified in His word that He wants us to do those things. Celebrate, demonstrate, communicate, reproduce, and educate. And when we're doing that, somewhere along the way, it's going to be like someone lit a fire under you. Because you're going to get passionate. You're going to get excited. You're going to begin saying, wow, now this is what I'm talking about. Someone once wrote about passion and said this. Passion is waking up in the morning, wherever you are, and bouncing out of bed because you know there's something out there that you love to do, that you believe in, that God made you for, and that you're good at. something that's bigger than you are, and you can hardly wait to get at it again. There it is. Passion. It's something that you'd rather be doing than anything else. And you wouldn't give it up for all the money in the world because it means more to you than money itself. Yeah. Folks, nothing matters more than knowing and living the five purposes that God put you here on this earth to fulfill. Nothing else can compensate for not living those purposes. Not fame, not wealth, not success, and not pleasure. Nothing can compensate for life without meaning. So whenever your purposes get unclear and you tend to forget why you're here in the first place, let me tell you, that can happen. We go through cycles. We lose track. We lose our focus. It does become blurry. We have an enemy that would love to get us blurry all the time, but thank God we have churches that are open, places we can go, and Christians we can be with that can help clear the air and get us focused again on what is important, truly important in life. And that rekindles the passion. And that then brings me to my last point here today. Passion killer number 7. I would say last but not least, an undernourished spirit. An undernourished spirit. You see, every day you face all kinds of circumstances that conspire to shrink your spirit and to shrivel your heart. Just know that's life on earth where Satan is the prince of this world. That's what you got to look forward to. Yes, you're going to get up tomorrow morning like you did today, and you're going to have distractions and disappointments. They happen. You're going to have conflict, and you're going to have changes and challenges that hit you broadside. And you'll say, what is going on here? Why is this happening? You're going to have problems and pressures. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have problems and pressures that are facing you right now. You're going to have frustrations and fears. Some will have failures and fatigue. All of these things fall in on you to shrivel your heart and to shrink your spirit. They're not accidental. They're not coincidental. I think many of this is all planned in the greater scheme of trying to take this whole world to hell with Satan. And God knows it. That's why He gives us helps. That's why He gives us gifts and talent. He gives us a mission. He gives us purpose. He gives us the Holy Spirit that lives in us. I mean, we got so many things going for us, but we don't always use them. We don't access them in any way. So we must intentionally nourish our spirits. It doesn't happen automatically. You can't do what some like to do, you know, auto-spirit. You've heard of autopilot, right? Flies the plane when the pilot wants to take a break. And some Christians like to take a break from the spiritual warfare, and they say, well, I'm just going to put it on auto spirit and think the Spirit's going to just do everything for them. No. Spirit will do a lot for you, but it's not going to do your due diligence. You've got to do it. If you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it for you. Nobody else is going to nourish your spirit like you can. So if you don't take the time and the trouble to do it yourself, it's not going to work. And ultimately, your heart and your soul, your spirit will shrink. It will shrivel because it's not getting the help that it needs. So, inquiring minds should be asking, well, how do I nourish my spirit then? I need to know that. That's right. Answer, it starts by you understanding and trying to live out the five purposes for which God put you here on this earth. That's the simple answer. You need times of worship with God where you get to know Him. You need fellowship with other believers. You need to read God's Word and grow and to be more like Christ in your life. You need to have a ministry where you're using that gift or talent that God's blessed you with for others. And you need a mission in the world where you're sharing your faith and testimony with others. Yeah, there it is. If you just choose one, this is a temptation as well. Some look at the five and they say, well, preacher, I don't have time for all that. I'll just do one. Okay. If you just choose one of these purposes and forget the others, you're going to be unbalanced, imbalanced. And you're going to lose, I believe, still, ultimately, your passion. Because God didn't make you for one. He created you for five. Five purposes for why you live here on this earth. You need them all to be healthy and balanced within your life. So you come back at me and you say, well, how do I do it, preacher? How do I accomplish that in a busy world that I live in? How do I plug into God? How do I have this living, vital, daily relationship with God that keeps my spirit nourished when everything seems to be pulling me in the opposite direction? Well, thank you for asking. The starting point, here it comes, the starting point is to remember how God feels about you. You know it, but you forget it. Did you know that God is hopelessly in love with you? Do you know that? The reason that you're not passionate about God many times is you have forgotten how passionate God is about you. Underline this verse, Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. It says, you must worship only the Lord, for He is a God who is passionate about His relationship with you. Now, when was the last time you read that verse? Have you quoted that verse ever? Have you told somebody, you know, I'm passionate, but I'm passionate, I'm so passionate about God, but you know why? Why? Because He's passionate about me. Well, how do you know? Well, because He tells me. Here it is. Who is passionate about His relationship with you? We forget that. He made you to love you. You were created as an object of His love. And I'm convinced that the more you understand how God is passionate about you, the more passionate you're going to become about Him. When we forget how much God loves us, we start ignoring God and we go and do our own thing. How do I know for a fact that God is passionate about me? It's one thing for Him to say, okay, I read that, but has God shown me He's passionate about me? And the answer is yes, He has shown me. The proof is the cross. When Jesus stretched out His hands and they were nailed to that cross, Jesus was in essence saying, I'd rather die than live without You. That's how passionate I am about my creation, the Lord speaking. I made You, I love You, and I'd rather die than live without You. I don't know if you can get any more passionate than that. Now, some people have made the proper connections and some people don't, because they don't ask the right question. It's interesting, the suffering of Jesus on the cross, there's a phrase that describes it. When Jesus died on this cross, we have a phrase that describes this. Now, when I first heard it when I was a young boy, I didn't understand it. What's the phrase that describes Jesus dying on the cross for us? It was a movie, Mel Gibson. He entitled the movie correctly. People that went to see that movie couldn't understand, why would you call that passion? The title of the movie is called The Passion of the Christ. I don't think I've seen a more bloody movie than that movie. You've probably heard communities or towns who have, listen, who have passion plays. What is a passion play about? Well, if you go and see it, it's drama that depicts what? The suffering of Christ on a cross. You see, Jesus never wanted us to forget what He did for us there on that cross. And so He gave us the symbols of communion, the symbols of baptism, to remind us until He comes again just how passionate He was. So much so, in His actions, He said, I'd rather die than live without You. So underline this verse of Scripture, because I'm sure that you haven't quoted this in a while either. Acts 1, 3, it says, Jesus showed Himself alive to them, and them would be His disciples. Jesus showed Himself alive to His disciples after His passion by many demonstrations. For 40 days, He continued to appear to them and tell them all about the kingdom of God. Showed Himself alive to them after, I love it, after His passion. That's what this series has all been about. Your passion. How passionate are you? Can we make a movie that's entitled The Passion of Mike? The Passion of Steve, put your name in there. And would that movie depict just how passionate you are? And what the sacrifices you made to show your love to God? Panorama of your life. Did this, did this, did this, gave up this. Could it not be called the passion of you, Mike? If there was a movie about you. You see, when you do a movie about Christ and you show His passion, what's it about? It's about what He did to show you how much He loves you. That's what real passion's about. And it took a lot of passion for Him to do what He did and the sacrifices He made. What an awful way to die. Go see the movie if you don't know what a crucifixion is about. But be prepared for blood. Because it's a bloody mess when someone gets crucified. And I always thought as a boy, why would they call that passion? When they kill and maim and blood everywhere. But I understand it now. I enjoyed our communion meditation today. Thank you very much. I don't know about you, but I didn't think that chick could stick it out. That chick did not move one eyeball. But in my communion meditation, I went just a little bit sideways on this because I was challenged. Because what I heard was someone picked up that chick when someone thought it was dead. And green, legs up in the air, so to speak, as they say. It's time to bury that chick. And yet someone believed enough, I don't know why Tammy would pick up a dead chicken, but she did. Picked up that dead chicken, and what I heard was she showed it some love, warmed it up, held it in her hands. And I'm thinking, there's a lot of Sundays I come in here and I probably, from God's perspective, I probably look dead. I put on a good front. But God knows my heart. He knows the battles that I faced. He knows the ones I was defeated in, maybe the ones I had some victory, maybe. But when I come in here, there's probably some times I look dead. And yet as I commune and as I think about what God did for me, I can feel His love. And He can bring life back into your dead soul. Doesn't matter how dead you feel. You can look dead. You can feel dead. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit of God is still in you. And all you need to ask for is a little help. That's all. And when I leave, I feel better. And it's different parts of the service that brings that to life for me. Only the song praise team would know that sometimes it happens in the song service. I'll sing a song and I break down. Because the song talked to me. And it said something. And I applied it to my life. And then when I'm taking communion, I can't help but to think, that bread and juice, why do I even take it? And then I begin to understand God's passion. And what echoes loud and clear to me is Jesus always saying, I'd rather die than live without you. Oh, my goodness. Only God could do that. Wow. He died so that I could live. That's how passionate he was. And so then I ask that simple question as I leave. If God loves me that much, what am I going to do this week to show him how much I love him? And that's all about the first point that I made. It really is. It's all about trying to live out your life, trying to fulfill those purposes as best you can. Just by being here on Sunday, I think two get knocked out right off the bat. Boom, boom, done. And then, I don't know about you, but I work with non-Christians. You know, I celebrate that. I'm so glad I work with non-Christians. Man, do I have to put up with a lot of riffraff and garbage. But I work side by side with people I know that are going to hell. And I know I have the truth. I looked at Dan. I said, Dan, he rolled down his window. He's about ready to take off. I said, Dan, come see me Sunday. I'm going to be busy. I know. I'm talking about if it rains. You can't do anything when it rains. Why don't you come see me if it rains? Okay. He must have knew the forecast already. I didn't. It didn't rain today. I drove by, saw another coworker. He's been out of work for 3 months. I've been by several times to see him. He's hurting. Because he told me he believed in miracles, I called him before I got there. I said, Matt, open your Bible. You got a Bible in the house? I'm trying to be a little pious. He was. Well, certainly I have a Bible. I said, well, I didn't know. If you got a Bible, I want you to look up before I get to your place. I want you to look up Psalm 77, verse 14. Really? Yeah. You know what that says? He said, no. I said, look it up. I'll be over your place in just a little bit. Many of you can look it up. It talks about Our God is a God of miracles. He does miracles. Dan told me, or Matt told me the other day, he believed in miracles. I said, really? I wasn't even sure if you believed in God, but if you believe in miracles, you must believe in something beyond yourself. I said, I believe in miracles. I can pray for miracles. So I challenged him. Look up that scripture. When I got there, he never told me if he read it or not. I didn't pressure him. I have a feeling he did. But I said, man, I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for a miracle. Do you believe that God can heal you? Yeah. I said, that's all I need to know. Now, Matt's the one that heard me pray for almost 2 years for David Bourne, his battle with cancer. I prayed 2 years for this, Sarah's brother, my brother-in-law. Cancer from head to toe. Matt heard, all my non-Christians heard me pray for this man who had cancer. They also heard me tell him he's going home to die. He's tired after 2 years of battle. He unplugged. He pulled all the tubes off of him. They didn't want him to do that. He said, no, I'm going home. I'm going to die. I want to die. I want to die. I know where I'm going to go. He did. He was saved. He's going to heaven. I'm tired. I'm just tired. Tired of the pain. So he goes home. Y'all know the rest of the story, unless you're a visitor today. Cancer from head to toe. 3 months later, no cancer in his body. No hospital, no medication, no nothing, because he went home to die. And then God healed him. 6 months after that, he's in Brazil. On a mission trip. Oh, God still does miracles, yes. Does he do it for everybody? No. Why he did it for David, I don't know. He didn't seem to do it for his dad. Now, Glenn didn't have cancer, but we prayed for him and he still died, you know. So just know, God's in charge. You don't know what he's going to do. But I think God's honored. Now, I tell you those two, and I got several others that I talked to. But, you know, when the clock goes off at 5:30 in the morning for me, I jump out of bed. Because I know in an hour, I'm going to have 1, 2, 3, 4 non-Christians that work around me, and then there's probably 24 down at the other end of the warehouse that just burn up that warehouse with their language. So awful. But they know that our end of the warehouse is different. And I make sure it stays that way. Because when they let word slip, I say, you just go on down to the other end. I don't want you down here with me. And what do they say? No, no, no. We don't want to go down there. We love it down here. Yeah, it's nicer. It is. No fighting. No yelling. I look forward to it. Because I know God has put me in that place at this time to be a light. I'm shining. And it's part of my passion to show God, thank you for saving me. Give me opportunities to communicate and share and show others how to live the Christian life.
I never say ho-hum. Why do I have to do this? No, I'm excited because I do think that these men are being affected. Slow boat to China, yes. I wish they were saved already. But sometimes it takes a while. You gotta hang. You gotta hang with them. Don't call me a prophet, but I at least predict, I'll make one prediction, that you'll see Dan Mikowski baptized in that pool right there before he dies. I think he's closer to death than he realizes, but I hope he's going to give me a chance. I think he will, to save his soul. And why was that possible? Because I've been over to his house. I've helped him. I've taken him out to eat. I've talked to him. I encourage him. I give him extra things all the time because I want to keep the door open. And he sees it all. We got to make sacrifices. We got to do things if we're going to get close to people that are not saved. It's called ministry. It's called evangelism. It's talking about what we're to do. Go and make disciples of all nations. I will baptize Dan if he is open, if he opens himself up. I think he will see the truth and maybe accept it. I can only hope. But I feel I'm getting close. I do believe I'm one of his few friends in this world. And Matt's on record to tell me that I'm his only friend. I don't believe that, but that's how you described it. Maybe the only friend that really cares about his goodwill. And I'm about to lose him. I told him Friday, I said, Matt, you got to make a decision. Three months. I've waited 3 months hoping you'd come back. But I got to move on. I don't want to. I want you to be there. I want him there because he's not a Christian. I want to win him to Christ. Arthritis is just eating his body up. He's in pain every day now. Now I run circles around him. That bothers him. How can you do that? You're so much older, and why am I the old man here? You should be having these problems. I said, I don't know. God's good. All right. Taking a little longer because I wanted to put some legs to this. I want y'all to realize that every one of you can be in situations. I've set myself up for these situations so I can be every day around people that I can influence for the good. I've told Dan more than once, I want you to be in heaven with me. So he knows I don't think he's going to be there. But I said, I want you to be there. I like you. I like our friendship. But Dan, you're not saved. I've told him that. Have you told your friends that? Or neighbors? Don't get me into my neighbors now. Ooh, I've had talks with all of them. And I've had most of them here over the time I've been here. But we have these opportunities. We got neighbors that we know that are not saved, neighbors that don't go to church. We got coworkers, if you're in the workplace, that you probably know that are not saved and they're not going to church. You may be in school. I don't know where you are, but can you not see that God has put you here on this earth for a reason? and begin to identify those reasons, I'm convinced I'm in my neighborhood by God's design. I'm not in any hurry to leave my neighborhood. Why? Because I know people that are not saved, and I'm trying to save them. I don't want to lose coworkers that are not Christians. I'm about to lose one, but I don't want to lose them because I think I can impact their lives. And as I go off to work, you have to know, I may have sleep on my face, but in my heart of hearts, I am smiling. Because if non-Christians knew who I was, they would not spend even a half an hour with me anywhere. They'd run. But because I set this up in such a way that these guys need to be there for whatever reason, they have their reasons. They don't know that I had my reasons to hire them. And I'm just so excited. So excited every day I'm around non-Christians. And that I can make an impact upon them. And sometimes I can do it directly, and sometimes I do it from afar, because I can tell you that warehouse is full of non-Christians who do not believe in God, who take His name in vain constantly, out loud, don't care if anybody hears it. And yet in that warehouse, when someone has got hurt, when someone has lost somebody, when someone has died, you know what they're doing? They're coming down to the other end of the warehouse and say, "Will you pray for this person?" They know what we do down there. I pray every day with non-Christians. They hear that prayer. I ask them, "Anything I can pray for y'all?" But the worst of the worst have all made the trek down to the other end of the warehouse at some point over the last 20 years that I've been there, and they say, "Oh, did you know that so-and-so passed away? Can you pray for my mom? Can you pray for my dad? Can you?" Now, why would they do that? Why? Because they know we do it. They see it. A few of them come down and say, "Can I join?" Occasionally. "That's interesting." I said, "Sure, come on." I don't twist anybody's arm. I don't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. But I'm a light. That is Mike's passion. Passion of Mike. Being a light. Being salt. Thank you, God, for putting me in the mix. So I can impact people's lives. And then I trust God, if they make a free will decision, His Holy Spirit's there to bring them right on through. I have to trust Him. God's not going to violate free will. I understand that. These guys would say no. I know that. But that's why I focus on friendships. That's why I try to get to... I want them to know me and that I really do care about them. How much do I care about them? Enough that I want to save their soul. And I thank God that His Son Jesus came in this world and He says, "I'd rather die than live without you." Thank God. Because I needed to be saved. And Jesus did it for me. What about your life here today? We're going to offer an invitation here in just a moment. Even in a group this size, I would tell you that you never know what's going on. You can make assumptions. You can say, "Well, there's nobody here that's lost." How do you know? You see everybody come in? I see people that weren't even here when the service started. I never know. God can bring people to church that need to make decisions. So we're going to offer an invitation. If you're outside of Christ, we hope that you'll come, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation for anybody that's ready to make Jesus Lord of their life. If you're a Christian already and you've been with us for a while, and you know our mission, you know what we believe, you know where we're heading, and you like it, Lord knows we could use your help. Why don't you come join us? Be part of a church that wants to really get you rocking and motivated and passionate about what you're doing here. As I would tell people, we don't want pew sitters, pew warmers. I don't think God wants that. He wants you to come and sit for just a while, yes, I think, so that He can talk to you, communicate with you, share with you. But then He wants you to go. Therefore, go. See, that's action. Go and do. Share your faith. Talk to people. You never know. Plant a seed. God's good. God's good to giving you many opportunities if you just trust Him for it. If you need to make one of those kinds of decisions today, I pray that you come as we stand and sing our hymn of decision. In your bulletins, let me draw your attention to just a couple things there. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. Okay, now, you know, as of just a few days ago, if you had asked me who was in the Super Bowl, I could not tell you. That just shows you how passionate your preacher is about football. But let me tell you, I'm looking today to go to a super Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl party. You know, Chief sliders, you know. Something like that. As I leave there, I can see me going and I can become a Philadelphia fan real quick if you have Philadelphia cheese sandwiches. Just let me know on your way out, say we're having a party and come on by. And I'll come by and sample some of the food. You know, I can get passionate about what I eat. Okay? We can have the football game on in the background, that's fine, you know. Now, I say all that to say, if you do my strategy, make one of your stops here, right? 6 o'clock? Well, I'm not sure if I can stay here if I find out there's sliders somewhere else. You know, I've got to make my rounds, you know, to make sure I get my Philly cheese sandwich and my sliders, you know. That to me is football, you know. You can get passionate about some people are passionate about the game. Some are passionate about the food, and then some, you may not know this, and some are passionate about the commercials. Now, for the first time ever, do all of you know, I drive through Hastings almost every day. Third quarter, there's going to be a 5-year-old girl in a commercial from Hastings, and they shot it right there in Hastings, Florida. And it's all. Do y'all know anything about Hastings? Sure, we do. We got a farmer. What's Hastings famous for? Potatoes. And guess who's doing the commercial? Lay's potato chips. Oh yeah. So third quarter, I want y'all to watch this 5-year-old girl. It's really cute. And some of you, you're passionate about the commercials. You like to see what's going on. This is a really nice. A lot of them are about drinking and other stuff, you know, but this is about Lay's potato chips. I like that. And so anyway, today at 6 o'clock, though, right here, will there be food here? Oh yeah, there's gonna be food here. So you got to make this a stop. Some of us want this to be the one stop only, and then some of us may have our own Super Bowl parties, and I'm just trying to find out if there's any others, you know, as I make my list, because I am not passionate about the game. I'm passionate about the food, and I want to sample those delicious foods that people make special for just the Super Bowl Sunday. So I hope that you have a good afternoon, good evening, and that you can share in that. And then, guys, next Saturday, I'm looking at all my guys now. Yeah, I'm looking at all the guys. I haven't seen some in a while. It's good to see some of them. We're kicking off the new year with three. We're going to have three slot car racing moments. And it starts at Charles Mulligan's place, 3 o'clock this Saturday. He's at it 4 foot. 4 foot of extra track. That's huge. I mean, he had a big track, but now it's 4 feet longer. And then, I hope, is yours done yet? Oh. Well, our next one was going to be yours, but we can go to Port Orange. There's a place in Port Orange that has some tracks. We can go there, but I'm hoping that maybe we can go see. Are you still working on one? Okay, we're hoping that another track is going to compete a little bit, and I love that too. You know, different tracks, different places. Are all the NASCAR tracks the same? I'm not a NASCAR fan, but I just know that that's not true, because I see some of them, they're little circles, and then some of them are just big ovals, and then some of them are, they're not on asphalt, they're on what? What are they on? Dirt, something else, you know. So anyway, every track's a little different. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. So anyway, that's coming this Saturday. Keep that in mind. Bible study in the middle of the week. If you want to be involved in our Living the Sanctified Life, we're having a good Bible study there, and hope that you can be part of that. We're glad that Bob is back from Ohio. Now, if you want his last name, just ask him when you welcome him. He has a nice, long, interesting last name. I get it wrong every time, so I don't even use it anymore. But you have a guest with you, Bob. Who is your guest?
That's my daughter.
And what's her name?
Bonnie.
Bonnie.
She lives right next door to me at home.
Wow. And she came all the way to Florida. And I think the reason, how cold was it up there? 11 below zero. That's enough to tell you why they're both here. 80 degrees outside, 11 below in Ohio. So that's close to y'all's place, 11 below zero. Ooh. But we're glad that Bob, and he said, as well, you know, he comes down every year, but he's going to be here till May. So that's a nice long stay. Bob, you're going to feel like you're a member. Oh, you are a member here, aren't you? We just don't see you for half a year. And we're glad that he's back in town, and that if you see him, you're going to see that he's had surgery on his knee, and he's lost a lot of weight. Okay, that's just part of the course, I believe. And you look good, though. You look strong. You feel good? Yeah, I'm glad he's able to make it and be here with us. All right, any other announcements? Going once. Alberta. Oh, Don. Oh, look at all those birthdays. Tammy's here. Is Juanita here? No. Don. I don't know who put that, but no, that wasn't me. Oh, okay. I don't want Don to get upset that we pulled that from our archives there. Oh, Laura over here. Man, you were trying to slip by here. He didn't see my name. I didn't, but here you are. You see, you're right up front. All right, man, we got a slew of, oh, look at them, doubles, 2 9s, 2 14s. Did you know you were on the same day as Don? Did you? Tammy, did you know you're on the same day with Juanita? All right, each of you, you got to let the other person know, you know, today, especially Juanita. I don't know if does she have our app? I don't know. A lot of people do. And let's do what we're good at. Happy birthday. Yeah, it is a good looking picture. I haven't seen Don look that good in quite a while. Go Bert. Oh, whoa, wait a second. Is that right? Are they known as the Birds? Oh, Philadelphia Eagles. I know. All right. All right, I'm just curious. How many are Eagle fans? If you want to identify, raise your hands high. For this game, and how many are a Kansas City fan?
Yeah, Chiefs!
Oh, all right, so it's about half and half, it looks like. One of those few moments when our church is split, but hopefully we won't be split over the food. All right, so, oh.
I was
going to
say, a better question is who's just coming for the food?
Yeah. Now, look back if you have, y'all stand up. Stand up. If you didn't see their hands earlier, do you know who they're rooting for? Just look back. Yeah. Oh. And can you tell who your preacher's going to maybe root for today? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Color means things, you know, to different people. So you wear your colors. And how many have ever seen a communion meditation with a chick that did not move a muscle? I've never seen that in my life. I thought chicks ran everywhere. And as soon as he laid that down on the pulpit, I don't think it moved one. I don't even think it blinked. It just stared at us the whole time. That was pretty amazing to me. Thank you for sharing your... Do you have a name for that bird by chance? Well, in my book, I would call it a resurrection chicken, you know. It's come back to life, but I don't know. You may have another name for it. I haven't named it yet, but there's not many chicks that you have that can say they've been to church and home. You know, been to church and home again, and this one can. So it is getting passed around, it looks like, a little bit. So how many chicks do you have?
113.
All right, how many want a little baby chick before... All right, let's stand. We're going to be dismissed with a word of prayer. Thank you for being here today, sharing with us. And we hope that you have a blessed day, evening, and week to come. So let's ask God's blessing upon all that. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for a beautiful Lord's Day. We thank you that we can be together and fellowship right here. We know that honors you and brings a smile to your face, seeing all of us come together and worship and honor you in various ways. And we thank you that we can do that. Bless our day. Keep us safe as we travel a lot of busy roads right now here in this area. And we pray, Father, for ministry opportunities all throughout next week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's close with this closing chorus, Bond of Love.